Whenever you boys are ready.
All right. Here we are.
This is it. Episode 22.
22.
No more fucking around.
Yeah, we're in there. One day late, but still more on time than the last month.
Day late and an hour late. But yeah, here we are.
Hey, man. When you hit this level, you'll be happy about it.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'm fine. I'm not
Shout out to Ashley. Keeping that heart rate up.
Boom. Well, we got jam-packed epi.
Ooh.
Had some fun on the last one.
Yeah.
Technically the last two.
Right? Everyone knows about them now.
And now we're going into something that is a little close to home for the two of us, huh?
A little bit, I guess you could say.
I'm going to the gym recently.
He said it, folks.
I've been going to the gym a lot.
Yeah, shout out to Charles.
Shout out to Charles.
Actually dragging him there.
Our guest from last week, he shows up at my house because he knows how to get in. He shows up at my house and says, we're going to the gym. And he doesn't take no for an answer.
Yep.
That's nice of him.
That's something. I hate him after it. But then again, it's working out. It's working out great.
Nice.
There you go.
But speaking of working out.
Yeah.
I'm not going to... Kumail is his name?
Kumail.
Kumail.
Yeah.
I didn't want to butcher it.
Yep. I'm sure enough people have.
I know. Well, it's breezing right into this topic.
Well, it's just funny because everybody gets his last name Nanjiani, right?
Nanjiani. Kumail Nanjiani. Yeah.
Apparently, the first name's the hard part of that one.
He's a comedian. But, a very funny one.
Yeah, he's a really funny comedian. He had a show called... oh, man. Can't even remember it now.
Mm-mm.
It's been a couple of years. But we'll find that out.
Real quick, before we continue.
What?
We're all drinking the same thing for the first time in a long time.
That's
here
true.
At Broken Strings Brewing, home of the Bartender's Ball podcast. And that is a Cigar City Lager. Tampa Lager. Really good. Very easy drinking. And we need to get rid of it at the brewery. So we're all drinking it.
Yeah, he's like, hey, just go ahead and just finish this off and... You know, get it off my taps.
That's okay. We got a lot of beer coming here at the brewery.
Yeah?
Can I know this wasn't part of the plan, but can I interject with it for a little bit?
Yeah.
Go for it.
So today we have the release of the Peaches Come in a Can, which is a New England, it's a milkshake, New England Peach Milkshake IPA. It's really freaking good.
I feel like those are like super trendy right now. Like
well,
milkshake
here,
IPAs.
We brew a lot of them. This brewery, Broken Strings, and then Ellipsis, excuse me, the two of us brew a lot of them. Mm-hmm. And Charles, when he collaborates, it's typically in New England. Anything that he could shove lactose into, he's going to fucking do it.
Yeah.
He's fucking doing it.
Yeah. So we got that one coming out today. We have the Mosquito Red IPA. The Red Mosquito IPA.
Where did that one get its name?
There's a song behind all of them.
The Red Mosquito?
Yeah, huh. I gotta look it up. There's a song behind all of our beers are have something to do with music. I mean, we're sitting in a room with a bunch of dead people painted on the walls.
Yeah. Well, on next week's episode, find out what's the Red Mosquito.
Yeah.
Tune in next week, folks. That's it. That's all the time
Red
we have.
Mosquito song? It's gotta be a song. Oh, what? By Pearl Jam. Duh. It's a Pearl Jam song.
Oh, he's on the wall?
He's not on the wall. Get out of here. It's a Pearl Jam song. But we have also the fourth bottle that we're releasing from the Sugared Stout Gang will also be on tap, and that's Chocolate Strawberry.
Ooh.
Which I got to be, once again, a part of that brew. I was a part of the first Sugared Stout Gang release, and now I'm going to be part of the second one, which is very awesome. And then, you know, we're just recovering from those bowl games.
You keep going to the gym like this, you're not going to fit in with the Sugar Stout Gang.
No, but it'll help because the only time I can't, like, I'm not lactose intolerant, but if I drink beer with lactose in it,
yeah,
I'm losing some weight.
Taking a Bam Bam.
Yeah, that's a big old Bam Bam. It's a couple Bam Bams.
It's just funny because when you say the Sugar Stout Gang, I just picture like
fat kids,
four little urban fat kids coming in to like rob a local
hey, that
business.
Word.
Hey, we're the Sugar
hey,
Stout
you can't
Gang.
Use the urban word.
Give us all your candy and chocolate.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was a. It's a lot of exciting stuff happening at the brewery for the next couple of weeks. Highly recommend popping in to visit your favorite bartender / podcaster.
Yeah. And if you guys ever end up making it up here on a Thursday or a Friday, you might catch us here.
Yeah. Fridays are open mic comedy night.
I meant for our podcast.
I know. But also, you should stick around and watch that. All right. Back to what we were talking about. So, Kumail...
He's kind of relearn the name.
You got it.
I can't remember.
You got it.
I don't remember what it is.
Nah. Nan. Nanjiani. Okay. Nanjiani. Here we are.
I don't. I didn't. I got the naan part. I didn't remember the rest of it. You yeah. had me at naan. I'm hungry now.
Say, just thinking about bread.
He did a show. It was actually called The Meltdown with Jonah and Kumail, and they would have other comedians come on.
I've seen it. It's really funny.
And they would just tell real life stories about different things that they've run into. There's another show on Comedy Central called This Is Not Happening.
Yeah.
Also a fantastic fucking show where comedians go on and just tell true stories.
It's like when comedians get together, and I really didn't realize this, comedy and then obviously podcasting until you and Drew, we started hanging out more. And obviously he was already into comedy, stand-ups and stuff, and also doing listening to podcasts.
Yeah.
So between you two, Tyler, and my roommate Steve, I really started diving in, and I find the podcast that I enjoy the most is like when Joe Rogan has another comedian on there, or 100%. Bill Burr has another comedian on there.
Yeah.
And they're just bullshitting with each other back and forth, and it's somehow they're just having a conversation, and it's automatically the funniest thing I've seen all fucking week.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
But to get back onto the point, this poor guy, Kumail, is Kumail being fit-shamed because he's going to be in a Marvel movie.
Yeah.
And you had a very interesting comment on this, which we'll get to in a bit. Do we know what movie it is?
It is...
Fuck, I knew it.
Is it the...
It's the one... it's like this...
The Invincibles or something?
Something similar to that. I'll look it up real quick.
Yeah,
we are butchering this episode. Yeah, we really are. This is awful.
No, it's okay. We can recover. I think we can.
With us.
No, but he's being fit shamed right now. Allegedly, comedians who were maybe a little dumpy or worse, are by their losing fans because they choose to live a healthier lifestyle.
Eternals.
Yep. That's it.
Both Tom and Sam are working on that movie right now.
Are they?
Yeah.
What's Tom doing
our
on
former, he's an AD, he's an assistant director.
Tom is now?
Yeah, he started. That's what he went back to England to do.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, our one-time producer, before we stepped into the real engineer light over there.
I don't know, he's working on a Marvel movie, so you guys might have fucked up.
Well, I mean, we brought him in with us. Worst he could do is bring us in with him. You know what I mean?
Right? If we accidentally get to hang out with, Now, I'm just spitballing here, but really anybody from that movie, I'll take an extra at this point.
Pretty sure Angelina Jolie's on that movie.
She is.
I will take the editor that programs on the little animated characters.
I will take all of their recording equipment so we can upgrade.
But
anyway.
So, Kumail Nanjiani gets into ridiculously jacked shape.
He is.
Because he's been going through a year worth of one of the biggest, most expensive studios in the country, paying for him to get completely fucking jacked.
And it worked.
Yeah.
And I saw he was doing an interview the other day, and he was like, these muscles are literally just for show. I can't do anything with them. It was pretty funny. But that dude is yoked. It was insane. And the fact that people are like, read that comment that dude posted. It was just really upsetting to me personally.
What, the one about...
Chris Pratt?
Yeah.
The one that involved Chris Pratt in there too?
Yeah, people are ending up saying they're like, first Chris Pratt and now Kumail Nanjiani. Marvel keeps taking nerdy favorites and making them buff. This is how we lost Chris Pratt.
But did you lose Chris Pratt? He's still pretty fucking funny.
Everyone said, a lot of these people are saying, male celebrities getting jacked is a curse. Actually, it ruined Chris Pratt. Everyone please protect Kumail. And then there's all the
Chris
people.
Pratt. So he's had four of his last five movies have been
fantastic.
The number one movie of the year?
Yeah.
He's a fucking Avenger. I agree with a lot of the higher up celebrities. Jennifer Aniston, Angelina Jolie, and what the hell is that guy's name? Martin Scorsese. That Marvel movies, I'd call them visually stunning and awesome. There's a lot of action. The storyline is okay. I did, but I don't think that they're actual films.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think they're cinematic wonders. They're not going to change the world. They're not advancing film, in my opinion, as far as... Like, they did about as much advancing as Avatar did. If that makes any sense. Yeah. Like, visually, the visual effects and the things it took to make that movie and the technology that had to be developed to create those movies, obviously that's further advancing cinema. But the true form of cinema where... It's like, yes, you have your action, And then there's a lot of think pieces behind it. There's a lot that goes into it. Yeah. When you have a writer or director, in my opinion, one of the most underrated ones, the guy who did Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, Snatch.
Yeah.
What am I? How am I forgetting his name?
Oh, man. Yeah, I can't remember right now.
We can't remember anything.
No, we can't. But, I mean, his movies, typically all based around the same premise, but they're all fucking incredible.
Yeah.
You know, they're so good. Even when he did the Sherlock Holmes movies with Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah.
They were pretty good, in my opinion. And that's because there's a lot of depth to the story, whereas...
Guy Ritchie,
that's who it was. I think because there's a lot of source material with comic books...
Yeah. And they're not changing storytelling.
Correct.
I think is what you're like basically getting at.
Which is all derived from storytelling. So it's, to me, they're great movies. But I don't think that they ruin people's careers. And I think anybody thinks that Chris Pratt's career is ruined or Kumail's career is ruined just because they decided to get fit.
I don't even think they're saying that. I think they're saying, he's ruined for me. Man, I wish he was.
But why put your opinion out there? Who gives a shit?
Yeah, the internet, bud.
The internet gives a shit. You get five people in one group, and all of a sudden you're starting a revolution. I'm just saying.
Yeah, exactly.
But no, but that really is just the shitty thing about it is people just saying like another quote like this: when Chris Pratt got abs, he left his wife and became a douchebag. And I think that's going to happen to Kumail.
Did he leave his wife and become a douchebag, though? Do you know him? Do you see? Is he punching babies?
I don't
know
about becoming a douchebag, but...
Does he smell like Axe body spray?
He might.
I mean, come on. What is your definition of a douchebag? Maybe there was irreconcilable differences in their wedding or in their marriage for years. And the stress of both of their schedules, the guy pumped out like four movies.
You were this close.
I know. I won't have to worry about spelling that word ever because I'll die before I get a divorce because my wife would kill me.
Yeah.
Anyway, all I'm saying is he was working a ridiculously crazy schedule. He had to pump out four movies in 2 years.
Chris Pratt?
Yeah.
I mean, hold on. I'm not going to let you make that seem like that was tough.
It's not easy. What do you think these guys are doing? How long do you think one scene takes to cut?
Doesn't matter.
How does that not matter?
Time to pay rate is... Tyler and I were talking about this before you got here, man. If you're doing anything where you're getting paid more than $1,000 an hour, fuck you, it's not hard.
I'm sorry. But it doesn't... I'm not saying it's hard. It just
takes
saying. The one thing I'm trying to say is it takes up a lot of time. I'm not saying it's hard. But when you're pumping out that many movies in that short a span, these things take a long time to make. For him, obviously, I mean, also...
I think we're off topic. Yeah, where are you going with this about
Chris
Pratt?
There's a lot of, quote-unquote, and I use this word very loosely, sacrifices.
All right, Abraham.
That you make as a celebrity or sports person. I think athletes do it
personality
more than... movie stars and musicians.
Yeah.
Where you can't do a lot of things that a normal person gets to do. Obviously, you're being compensated heavily.
Like what?
Well, you can't indulge in things like normal people do, or else you'll be out of date. Like, if you're an NFL player, and you spend your entire offseason fucking going nuts, eating anything you want, drinking, having a good time, and you show up to camp 25 pounds too heavy, you either got to drop that weight really quick, or you're going to get cut from the team.
Jamarcus Russell
is a perfect example of this. He showed up to camp. I think he was like 80 pounds overweight or something crazy like that. I could be exaggerating.
Stupid.
He's a moron. He was a number one overall pick, and he couldn't get in shape. Here's a crazy story about that. They gave him a blank tape, right?
Mm-hmm.
And said, hey, we need you to watch these plays. And then he's like, okay, so give us the breakdown. He's like, oh, I watched it. This happened. Like, this dude is, you have to put work in. You don't have time to watch a TV show like normal people do, like everyday people do. Athletes in the NFL, I'm speaking NFL because I read a lot of stories behind this. Like, mm-hmm. I was listening to Aqib Talib on Colin Cowherd on the way up here.
Yeah.
And he was like, Colin Cowherd's like, you seem like a guy who loves a good time. And Aqib goes, heck yeah, I do. And he's like, so, you know, when you were, you know, doing the Super Bowl thing and you had a little bit of time off, were you going out partying, having a good time? He's like, you know, I probably the last one was in Atlanta. I think I went out 2 days. No, I went out 1 day. I didn't go too hard because I had to play Tom Brady. I had to play Tom Brady on Sunday. There's no way you could just sit there and clear your mind and have a good time and go out for a couple drinks when you're playing arguably one of the greatest NFL players of all time.
I'm just saying, I guess maybe we have two different perspectives on this, but for me, I would relish in the fact that I get to play in like one of the biggest fucking games 100%, of the year.
And you do relish in the fact. No, but so and I'm you just take saying, pride in it.
I would never at one point be like, oh, shucks, I can't go to a matinee movie on a Tuesday.
But he wasn't saying it like that. He was kind of excited. You're looking at it from the wrong way. No,
but that just seems like, maybe I'm incorrect, but it seemed like that's the way that you brought this up, where you're like, oh, boohoo celebrities like that.
No. It wasn't
they spend so
thing.
Much time doing movies he that was, they can't participate in.
He was smiling
normal
the whole
things
time.
Like going to Starbucks. Exactly.
He was
like,
smiling the whole time. He was having a good time and he was talking. I mean, obviously, it's a privilege to play at the next level, to make millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Over the course of a 5 years. I mean, your lifespan in the NFL.
Mm-hmm. It's like the 5 to 7 years.
Yeah.
Unless you're a quarterback, then it's
or
maybe 12.
Or other player. I mean, cornerbacks last till about almost 40. Kickers, you
not
get in
more,
there
until
about 70.
Look at all the cornerbacks now.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
AJ
Champ
Bouye,
Bailey, I guess
he's fallen off. One. Xavier Rhodes can't do anything there.
I wouldn't say they've fallen off. AJ Bouye is still a little younger.
No.
I know Xavier Rhodes is
like
5 years. You
look up AJ Bouye. But no.
I think they both might be about 5 years in the league, but I think they just had off years. AJ Bouye is playing on a struggling Jags team, though.
Nah. I thought AJ Bouye was on the Texans now.
I could be wrong.
I thought he got moved over to the Texans, where he was supposed to actually be doing well. But the Vikings were one of the easiest teams to pass against this year. Xavier Rhodes was absent.
But he has.
It was a big bonus.
Wasn't he injured?
No. No, it was a bonus when people were playing against Xavier Rhodes this year.
What? That's crazy.
Yeah, but
I wish I knew how to spell AJ Bouye. It's okay. Anyway, back to the topic at hand, though. I mean, who's to say that these guys get buff and turn into douchebags? You are
people on the internet,
right?
That's who's
you
to
are.
Say.
I'm just saying, like, why are we listening to their opinion? They don't know these people personally. You don't know what goes on inside their head. Chris Pratt, is a very religious guy.
Is he?
Very religious guy.
I never would have gotten
and
that.
He does a lot of work for, you know, the Christian community. Yeah. I know that much. You should like some of his acceptance speeches and stuff. You'll hear a lot of that stuff in there too. It's pretty interesting. Speaking of that.
Where are you going with this?
Oh, I'm just saying he's a nice guy. And I'm not a religious person, but I've seen like some of the stuff that he obviously you do certain things for the camera to make yourself look like a good person.
Yeah.
But he genuinely seems like a good person. He doesn't look like Paris Hilton showing up at a charity event. She's probably still Paris
Hilton. Ever since she did that whole fucking Simple Life show, anything she did was out
there. How hilarious was that show? We were so spoiled.
Yep.
Between that show,
we didn't know
and Viva La Bam
came on.
And Viva La Bam and Wild Boys. God.
My name's Bam Margera, and I'm gonna beat the shit out of my dad. That was it.
Wild Boys was the best show.
That was the premise
opinion.
Of the show.
It was great.
All right, Phil, what's your favorite color? Oh, blue.
And he paints a whole
paints the entire fucking house blue.
All the bananas.
From the inside.
Everything. It's great.
Yeah.
We're about to have some people walk in.
Oh, my God. Not if I can help it.
Don't do it. Don't do it. You might hear some muffles.
Hey.
How's it going, guys?
How you doing?
Grab a seat wherever. We're doing a live podcast. Dive in.
Yeah. Enjoy some beer, guys. Hi.
Anyway,
yeah.
I don't think they immediately, once you become buff and go see a Marvel or be in a Marvel movie, you're not a douchebag, is what I'm saying. It's
exactly.
Not fair. And this guy's a douchebag for saying it, in my opinion.
Yeah. And that's the other thing is Kumail Nanjiani has been one of the most, like, wholesome, nice, like you said, comedian dudes who's always just like, I love the fans. I love anyone and everyone that comes out to see my comedy. And I just want to meet everybody and be the nicest dude. And him and his wife, Emily, have one of the best relationships. They actually did a movie called The Big Sick.
Which I heard was great.
Yeah. Apparently it was a huge tearjerker because it was based on their real life story.
Yeah.
Where Emily actually went into a coma.
Jesus.
And Kumail refused to leave her.
That's insane.
And now they're still together. And people are like, oh, he's going to dump her just like Chris Pratt dumped Anna Faris.
Shut up.
Well, that's not going
to
happen.
That happened to Jonah Hill.
What?
He got
skinnier and dumped?
He got skinnier. For a role.
Seth Rogen was like, you're not funny anymore.
Well, not him. Just fans were saying that. And he went up to it to accept an award. I can't talk today. he went up to accept an award, and he was like, I hate that people think that I'm not funny anymore because I lost weight. And the girl next to him was like, why don't you tell a joke? And he's like, why did the chicken cross the road? And the girl goes, why? He's like, because maybe he wanted to live past 50.
Hey.
Like, maybe he wanted to have healthy cardiovascular status, like all of this stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's 100% true. Now, you don't have to get fucking yoked like Kumail did or Chris Pratt did, but
but if you're going to be in a Marvel movie, it might be fun.
You have a six pack, you have some biceps, you got some pecs, you got a large nose. You
thanks
are what someone would call jacked.
Okay.
And you're not really that big of a douchebag.
No.
No.
I appreciate that.
Now, you are very impatient.
I am.
For a guy who's always late.
Almost as much as your wife.
No. No one's that impatient. But, yeah, I think it's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
It pisses me off.
Me too.
Speaking of fat people.
Yeah.
Goldberg.
Someone else who finally lost all that weight.
Thanks to meth.
Oh, man.
I'm not going to lie to you. One of the most iconic movie scenes of my life is when they con their way into that little clothing store.
Yeah.
And they were giving them, like, mimosas. It was just orange juice, obviously.
Yeah.
And then they found out they had no money.
Yep. And they kicked them all out because they're, like, fucking hoodlums in there. I'll tell you. While we're talking about him, let's see. So he played Goldberg in The Mighty Ducks.
He's done a few movies when he was younger.
Sean Weiss.
Sean Weiss.
Thank you.
Oh, I think we're getting a pre-release sample of the Peaches Come in a Can.
Ooh.
So this is a Peach.
No, I'll say, is that based off the President's song, right?
Yep. Nice. It's a Peach New England milkshake, little vanilla in there, obviously lactose.
Oh, that's super good.
But
this was the beer that got me into this brewery, and that's why I never left. And now Charles is stuck with me for life.
You mean never left because you're in the bathroom shitting your brains out.
Because of this beer. But it's so freaking good.
Because you can't stop drinking all the delicious New England IPAs here.
It's not even the New England ones. It's only the milkshake ones that have a shit ton of lactose.
They get you.
They do, but it's worth
it. You were just talking about it, and I was also wanted to talk about it. A movie that I loved from my childhood, Heavyweights.
Heavyweights. I knew you were going to say
that. Holy shit. Ben Stiller from back in the day.
That was an MTV movie. That was an MTV movie. Nobody knows that.
Ben Stiller.
Really?
They had,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that was an MTV movie.
Did you ever hear of that this time?
Yes. Well, I know about the movie. I don't know.
Okay.
You know that movie? To this day, I still haven't lived one of my greatest dreams that I saw in that movie for the first time.
What?
That's a blob. Experiencing a blob.
Yes.
Like you sit on one end and somebody jumps and you fly off the other.
I was introduced to that thing there as well, where they were just like, this is a huge blob. It's a bag of air that you float on a lake. One person sits on one end. Fat guy jumps 20 feet onto the other end.
And then
you just catapult in the air. And who cares how you land? Because it's the 1990s.
And it's water. You know, to this day, because of Heavyweights, every time I see like a four-poster bed or like a bunk bed, I knock on it to see if it's hollow on the inside.
Chipmunks, assemble!
See if there's any candy in there or something.
Yeah.
I was a chipmunk last year.
Yep. No, man, that movie was amazing, dude. Ben Stiller goes insane and tries to run the whole fat camp.
He scammed
a neo-Nazi camp.
His real life dad. Wasn't Jerry Stiller in it?
Yeah.
He's like, don't let anybody sign you checks for you.
No, that was him. Ben Stiller played his own dad, if I remember correctly.
No, Jerry Stiller was... We're going to have to look it up.
We are. I'll look it up right now because I already got IMDb up.
Good
but
man.
Sean Weiss, one of your iconic movies.
Quack.
Yeah, Quack.
The Mighty
Quack.
Ducks. Quack. The Mighty Ducks were... I growing up in Los Angeles from 0 to 11. From 0 to 11, I was in Los Angeles, but those movies came out at the right time. So technically speaking, by proxy, I should be Dodgers and Kings, LA Kings fan. But because I grew up in the Angels in the Outfield and the Mighty Duck era, I became an Angels in the Outfield Mighty Duck fan. And it's to this day, it was one of the best movies I've ever seen. So the fact that this guy went under because of meth.
Yeah.
Burglary. Everybody now people are reaching out to him.
Well, I think it was one of those things where it was kind of like an epidemic in the 90s of child stars.
Oh, yeah.
You had a face that looked really good, and you were able to play. This has always kind of been my theory on it, because oddly enough, I put some thought into it.
Right.
It's one of those things where you had all these child actors and everything that could play 10 to 12 years old until they were 17.
Yeah.
And then when they actually turned 19 to 20... Like the guy that played young Anakin.
Oh, yeah, he's in bad shape.
They just, they have a face that looks like they're young.
Yeah.
Until it's way too late. And then you almost just have like a disproportionate looking face because it looked so much like a child when you were younger.
Exactly.
And then Hollywood's, but can we like, just I'm done with
take
you.
A second to appreciate, remember young Gerald Garner?
Gerald Garner.
The fat kid, the main one in Heavyweights.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, he's yoked too.
I don't know about yoked, but like he just looks like Tom Hardy's son.
Oh, and the dude, like, wow.
He's the dude in the middle there.
That's insane.
Right?
That's insane.
Sometimes it's
the guy on the left is Goldberg that we're talking about.
Oh.
The goalie from Mighty Ducks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, God, he's looking
and then
rough.
That's Goldberg little Kenan Thompson over there.
Kenan Thompson, yeah.
It's just a picture of all-stars right there.
I just saw him on an interview on Desus and Miro. That guy is so, like, when he talks, like, normal, he sounds so quiet and calm and collected. But when he's obviously doing SNL, he's the longest-tenured SNL cast member of all time right now.
Yeah.
He's so
rad. Remember a little show from back in the day called All That?
Yeah, he's, I mean, he's... Sketch comedy is his thing.
Well, you think it's funny how now there's like seven members of All That that have transferred to SNL?
Yep.
I mean, All That was SNL for kids.
It was.
It was, but it was so good. Everyday French with Pierre Escargot was my favorite. It was so good. I was a big fan of that show. But anyway, it's kind of devastating to see, you know, a spiral like that because you look and he looks rough, dude. Didn't you say he looked like the Mighty Ducks mascot?
Who?
Goldberg.
Goldberg?
The guy, I can't remember his name off the top of my head.
Sean Weiss.
Sean Weiss, sorry, yeah. No, he looks really bad, like skinny in the face, skinny in the jaw.
I didn't say that, but God damn it, that's good.
Somebody else said
it. Because he looks like the duck hockey mask now. Yeah, it's all sunken in the cheeks.
Yeah, it's bad.
Looks like he's been playing goalie without pads for 10 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what are you going to do? Life happens. Drew Barrymore had a drug problem and came out of it all before she was like 17, so if she can do it, anyone can.
True that.
Yeah, buddy.
But let's see. Real quick. I did just want to get it. It was... Damn.
Oh, you're trying to figure out if it was Ben Stiller or Jerry Stiller? It was definitely Jerry Stiller.
No, the kid from...
Ashley.
The kid that played Anakin.
Oh, yeah.
You know, another Macaulay Culkin. There's another child star that turned out rough.
Oh, yeah. Hayden Christensen.
But he came back around, though.
Yeah.
No, not Hayden
Christensen. I don't think his was as bad as people say it was, either.
Hmm.
I feel like his was kind of blown out of proportion.
Who?
A little bit.
He just
Macaulay Culkin.
He just looks like
he did. It was Jerry Stiller was in there.
Oh, so Macaulay Culkin has actually come back around full circle, and 100%. He no more looks like he's doing Meth Home Alone anymore.
No. Yeah, Jerry Stiller was in Heavyweights, buddy.
Really?
Yes.
How interesting.
What are you? Are you still trying to find this kid?
I still need to try and find this fucking fat kid.
Which one?
Haley Joel Osment.
Oh,
I don't know who that is.
He's the kid from The Sixth Sense.
Yes.
Oh yeah, but he's fat now. But he's not.
No, but the thing is, dude, I'm saying
he's got like a Harvard degree.
No, but look, that was him.
Yeah,
he was able to play that kid until he was like 15.
Yeah.
And now that he's older, he just looks like a man baby.
Yeah. He does look like a man baby.
But he's
baby.
Super smart.
You know,
it doesn't matter. All I'm saying is it's the epidemic that if you were a child star and that's what you know is how to be in film and movies and everything, and now you look like a 30-year-old, 14-year-old with a beard, you can't get any more movies.
Yeah. Poor guy.
He gets great movies like Tusk.
Who was in Tusk?
He's a voice actor.
Yeah. He actually plays one of the guys who do a podcast.
Is that similar to that movie Teeth?
No, Tusk is that was a
Kevin,
that was
Smith,
Kevin
movie.
Smith movie, but it was crazy.
It was about this guy goes to Canada and gets abducted by this creepy old dude who turns him into a walrus.
Oh.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah,
it's as ridiculous as it sounds.
And he did Red State kind of around the same time, and that one was a crazy movie too.
Yeah.
Had John Goodman in it though.
Is that like Red Dawn?
No,
Red Tusk State. Had Johnny Depp.
Really?
Yeah. I was like, how do you get Johnny Depp for this silly movie?
My man Johnny Depp.
So, anyway.
Speaking of Johnny Depp, fast cars, fast people.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Ford GT.
Beautiful
one of my longtime favorite cars.
You know, Jeremy Clarkson says, my Ford GT stays in the garage.
Yeah.
Because it's beautiful. And Richard Hammond said, also because it doesn't work.
Yep.
He's like, well, I do keep it in the Ford garage a lot, too, because they're fixing it. But yep. I do love it.
But one of the things, there was a Ford GT.
Yeah.
Still road legal. I think it was a 2015.
It had to have had some weight reduction, though.
No, it did have some weight reduction, but I just like to make the point that it is still street legal.
Yes, 100%. Which is important.
Yep. 100% street legal, because that was the one thing that I liked about Top Gear, when it was still Top Gear, not the Grand Tour, is whenever they did their hot laps around the...
Oh, yeah, they did the legal, the street legal, well, they cars would only and then the have, non-street legal cars. Yep. They had a separate list for that.
They'd let the non-street legal cars go, mm-hmm. but then they'd be like, but it's not street legal. Goes to the back of the line.
Correct.
And it was great how they just looked up cars that, yeah, it wasn't one of those where, okay, for instance, like the, what was that, the Ferrari, LaFerrari?
LaFerrari, you can't
when
drive
it when you buy
anymore.
A LaFerrari, you own it, but it stays at the factory.
Not necessarily. No, if you have a garage or a Ferrari-approved area, you could keep it with you.
Okay, so a Ferrari-approved area, I bet you, is usually an area that Ferrari has built in your town.
Or your garage itself. You could take those home. You just can't drive them unless Ferrari approves.
But that's the thing. So you mean that you had a driver from Ferrari come to park it in your driveway, and you just get to cross your arms and be like, that's mine?
Pretty much.
But so why not just look at a fucking webcam and just be like, yeah, that's mine? It doesn't matter. My point is, it's stupid because
the Ferrari is the only non-street legal car that you could do that with. Koenigsegg's cars.
Not true.
Who's the other one?
Pagani Zonda.
You can drive a. You can't.
No, you cannot.
No, Huayra.
No, you cannot.
Huayra. I don't know how to pronounce it.
No,
but
you can't. You can't drive the 1-to-1. You can't drive the Huayra. You can't drive anything that has like set any of the memorable records recently.
No, what I'm saying is you can drive those cars on a track, but you don't have to have regulations from the manufacturer. Ferrari's the only one that superimposes those. You can't turn this car on without giving us an email. Whereas
it's not even an email. You can't turn the LaFerrari on because they send out a pit crew. Correct. They send out a pit crew and they're like, okay, what track would you like to go drive at today? And they're like, okay, we'll meet you there in 2.5 hours.
No,
and then they meet
understand.
You there with your car.
I understand. What I'm
do
saying
do all the
is,
tuning on it. And then they're like, here's the keys,
Ferrari's
get in.
Ferrari's the only one that does that. Now, the other cars aren't street legal, but if you could get them to the track, you don't have to call any other
Interestingly
people.
Enough, though, the Pagani can't. I will look it up right now where there is a certain Pagani model. The only way you can drive it is if you own your own track.
Oh, yeah.
Because it is way too
but
loud.
They didn't make enough of those to make a... I think there was only like 10 of those made. It's Dodge did that. You ever heard of the Dodge Tomahawk?
Sounds through.
It's technically speaking a four-wheeled motorcycle. With a V12 Dodge Viper engine in it, capable of doing roughly 200 miles an hour or more. And it's got these wheels that are, there's two on each side, and they do this. As you turn, they do that.
Yeah.
To help turn. Mm-hmm. For those of you that, nobody can see us doing this, so look it up on TV. But you buy one.
The Ariel Atom does the same thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Leans into it.
When you buy a Dodge Tomahawk, they sell it to you, and it doesn't turn on. You can't drive it at all. It is a showpiece, and that's it. Because there's a special chain, and the only way you could see what that that gear looks like that the chain goes on is you have to have a five different special tools. It's because they didn't want somebody buying it and manufacturing their own chain and then driving it around.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's pretty insane. V12 motorcycle.
That's right. No, I have seen that thing.
Yeah.
It's got two wheels in the front and back.
Yeah, yeah. And they move like that.
Yeah.
They move independent, not really independent of one another, but they move parallel to one another. It's pretty cool. But speaking of what we're talking about, there's a great documentary on Netflix called Hypercar, which is what these cars are.
Yeah.
And they're ridiculous horsepower.
Yep.
And they have hybrid engines in them, and that's what makes it a hypercar.
Yeah,
and,
hyper is pretty much from the electric and gas engine.
Yeah, and these electric engines are like top of the line, some of the craziest things you've ever seen, but they're useless for driving independently. You can on some of them drive on just the electric motor alone, but the range isn't that far. The only thing these electric motors are good for is maintaining power, like you're not losing power as you're shifting gears.
Yeah.
The electric motor will kick in, and it's also good for saving the ridiculously high-priced gas that you're putting inside of these things.
Well, if we want to think of something that's really actually interesting then, as we talk about cars, something that I was just looking up, the Jesko 300.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. From...
Oh, from Koenigsegg.
Yeah.
Real quick, before we get onto that.
Okay.
I wanted to mention something about Ford GTs.
What?
Because the reason we never got to the base.
Oh, why we even brought it up.
Yeah. A Ford GT just went 300.4 miles an hour.
Yeah. In a mile.
In a mile.
That's insane.
So at the quarter mile, it was at 174 miles an hour.
That's insane. Your cheeks are flapping. Both
at the half mile, 240.
Mm.
And a full mile, 300 miles an hour.
That's insane.
Yep.
It's insane.
That's absolutely blistering.
So,
and because we were just talking about it, still a street legal car.
Yep.
Still a street legal car. Yeah, it had some weight reduction and stuff like that. But the main thing was they did a lot of work on what the article said was the drag coefficient.
Yep.
It was just able to slip through the air that much quicker, not run into any air resistance. And from dropping down that drag coefficient, it's like you're not driving against a wall anymore.
Right. We talked about this last week. I went to the Mika Moto auction, and there was a 2017 Ford GT that was being sold there by none other than John Cena. But he was getting sued by Ford.
Yeah?
Because you're not allowed to sell them.
Yeah.
You have a 7-year waiting period before you can sell your Ford GT.
Yeah.
Why is that? Well,
they just don't want it.
They produced such a limited number of them. That the scarcity makes it to where people can...
You could mark up the price like crazy.
It's one of those things where I believe, if I remember this right, Ford is actually... When you produce a car like that, you're not allowed to actually sell it as a production car or like use it in races. Or no, sorry, nothing about production. You're not allowed to use it in races for other street legal cars if you don't make and sell a certain number of that car.
Oh, okay.
So Ford made this car and came up with it so that they could compete it in races and win races at this national level.
Yeah.
But they actually, car makers do this a lot, they lose money on every one that they sell because nobody's going to want to pay for all the technology that they put into it.
Yeah.
But by the regulations, it has to be the same car that they want to race.
I don't know if that's 100% accurate, but I think you're on the right track. I mean, the reason why the car exists is Le Mans.
Exactly. Yeah. The only reason that they sold it was to meet a certain requirement to let it race in Le Mans.
They wanted to beat Ferrari.
So I'm just saying that I'm almost positive American that they supercar. Lose money on every one that they sell. And based off of that, the car is worth like $1.8 million. And they sell it for like $700,000. And they don't want people like John Cena to turn around and be like, all right, nobody else can even buy one. $3 million.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. Here's how I think it's working in Ford's favor. First of all, they control the price. So they control the market on the car for 7 years. And now all these people who have hit that, we'll call it statute of limitation for selling this car, are selling them for millions. Millions. They're selling them for millions of dollars. The original one, that was at Le Mans, the original or one of the original test cars and one of the original cars that raced at Le Mans when they first introduced it, was on the block last year by Chip Foos, Michael Foos, one of the Fooses.
Yeah.
It was on the block, and I think it was up to $12 million and didn't meet reserve.
Yep.
The bid goes on. Yep. One of the most historically for American cars, ground zero. I think one of the most, when it comes to racing, the most important car in international racing from America.
Yeah.
The first ever American supercar. The first thing that put us on par with Europe, like with Ferrari and Lamborghini and Porsche and all these fancier car makers. That car put us on the map. And it did what it set out to do. They built it to win at Le Mans. They built it to beat Ferrari. And it fucking did. And then when they did the 50th anniversary, they released it. And then immediately put it into a race and won again.
Wow.
So, I mean, I think it's a mid-engine, too.
Yeah.
So, there was the first mid-engine supercar.
Where are you going?
Now Chevy is doing it. The new Corvettes are all mid-engine from now on. That's why they had a hard time. All these Chevy dealerships are having a hard time selling their Z06s because the new ones are mid-engine. They're more powerful, faster.
Yep.
It's so insane.
About the Ford GT price.
Oh, what do you mean? I'm saying that they're controlling the price. That's why they have that statute of limitations.
But that's not
years.
A good thing for them. The only reason that they're controlling, what I'm saying is the only reason that they're controlling the price is because they know that there's a certain price point that they have to sell it at. Because
I don't know if they're actually losing money on them, though.
I'll look it up right now. There's a few companies that lose money on every Ford GT they produce.
Every Pagani that comes off of the line, the company loses like almost $1 million per car, some stupid number like that. But I feel like Ford GT, they don't lose any money. I could be wrong. Have you seen the new Mustang SUV?
Mm-mm.
That Ford's
no.
rolling out? Speaking of disasters, that thing is pretty weird.
Is it?
Yeah.
What's weird
it's like
about
a hatch. It looks like a hatchback. It's like a small SUV, I think. It's coming out pretty soon because they're not making any more cars or... they're not doing cars anymore at all except for the Mustang. It's like
really?
Mustangs and trucks and work vans.
Huh.
They're getting out of the car game completely. No more Taurus, no more Escort, none of them. In the American market, nothing. What's the one that's fat? Focus. No more Focus, except for racing teams or European use. But in America, they're not producing any more cars for the American market. So your Ford Taurus might be worth some money there one day there, mister.
Oh, the Ford Focus.
Your Focus, yeah. I mean, that's their biggest one, I think. But... in America, bigger is better. Alleged. Like, you go to England or Europe, anywhere.
What?
They're driving Ford Focuses.
I don't understand what the logic is behind that.
They don't make any money, and their cars
on
aren't
cars?
Reliable. On their cars, yeah. Mustang's the only one they make money on.
Huh. All right.
Nah. So, Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
it's the Sunday.
That's a segue
so
for you,
a,
folks.
I just got a text message,
Super Bowl.
Actually, before we hop into the Super Bowl. Cameron Good.
Yeah.
Long time listener of the podcast, and by long time I mean last 8 months, however long we've been doing this for, since we restarted with young Tyler here. He will be meeting me at the beer festival tonight.
Cool.
VIP ticket.
Oh.
Anyway, sorry, I just wanted to throw that in. I had to do a shout out to him on the podcast because he is one of our more loyal fans. And
horribly put, but yeah,
that's okay. So, yeah, the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Who you got?
I don't know. Actually, I think I want Andy Reid to win because I feel like he belongs up there with, like, Mike Holmgren and coaching-wise. And I think that the 49ers can go again next year and win.
Yeah?
I mean,
so you want to see the Chiefs get it this year and then get the 49ers next year?
I want the Bucks to win next year.
This is not a participation trophy sport, man.
I want... Chiefs to win. Yeah. Where do they go to watch soccer? Where do people go to watch soccer?
Oh, the Lions
the
Pride bars on
Lions
Wall
Pride.
Street.
Yeah, they open early for Premier League. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Don't no,
worry,
there's.
We can fix this in post. You're fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's some good Irish bars right off of Orange.
Any Irish pub that's owned by a real Irish person, you're good.
What is that? Molly Flanagan's?
You're just throwing out Irish names?
Is that not a thing? I really thought that was a...
You mean Finn Henry's?
No. Mary Magdalene's, like right down that does the pudding shots.
I have no idea. I've never
what?
Been there. I think we should just keep this whole thing in there.
I know.
Anyway.
Who's that, real quick though, what's that bar on Wall Street that does the pudding shots?
Lizzie McCormick's?
Thank you. And I was so far off with Molly Flanagan's. Fuck you.
Question for you, Charles. Yeah. Is Molly Flanagan's anywhere close to Lizzie McCormick's? Like, could you see those two names being linked in any way other than the fact that they're Irish?
LM, ML, like, both sound kind of Irish.
He was trying to figure out the name of Lizzie McCormick's and came up with Molly Flanagan's and didn't understand how I could bridge that gap.
We got there.
Peaches taste great, by the way.
Yeah. Anyway, though.
So,
I got the Chiefs.
I want the Chiefs to win, personally, but this is, like, for more... I invested. I think that Andy Reid. I want him to win more than anybody.
See, Andy Reid. He's already the best dressed head coach in the NFL. He doesn't need anything else. He's okay.
But I think he needs a Super Bowl.
Besides, the one thing that I did like that I didn't know, just because this goes back into like years and years of stats. If the 49ers win the Super Bowl, tied for most all time with New England and Pittsburgh.
I'm okay if they don't get that.
I want them to get that just to elbow their way up onto the podium with New England and be like, Misfits made it.
I mean, it'd be funny for Jimmy Garoppolo to do it.
Yeah.
But I think
Jimmy G!
I kind of want it to be the Chiefs. I feel like they deserve it.
Yeah?
Where do you think Tom Brady's going?
Do I think he's what?
Where do you think he's going?
Oh, the Bengals.
No, get the fuck out of here.
What do you think, the Jets?
No, I think he's probably going to end up in... they're talking about he just bought a new home in Las Vegas.
Oh, the Raiders.
Yeah.
Man. See, now that would be interesting because, dude, if the Raiders could figure out some way to get out of that fucking Derek Carr contract, they could afford Tom Brady.
Just trade him. Trade him to the fucking Bengals.
Exactly.
They'll take him.
Wait, how weird would that be if the Bengals traded their first round pick for some Derek Carr?
I don't think Derek Carr is worth the first round pick. I think they're going to trade him, and they'll probably keep the contract they have in place or maybe extend it to
I don't know why, but I want to say Derek Carr could go to Buffalo.
They don't need him in Buffalo.
Yeah, they do.
Jared Allen is doing okay over there. Or Josh Allen, I'm sorry.
But I also think Josh Allen, I think that they could be like, yo, we could cash in on Josh Allen, trade him for some good draft picks. Because, dude, they're hurting out there. They don't have any wide receivers. They barely have a running back. They don't
need wide receivers. Their fucking quarterback runs, rushes for 200 yards.
Who's their running back?
Frank Gore.
Yeah.
He just passed...
turning 40? Yeah. Yeah, he did.
They have another running back, though. They have a good running back up
who's
there.
Who's not good.
Yes, they do.
No.
I'm looking it up right now.
You do that. It's going to take about 5 minutes.
I'm looking it up right now.
But anyway, if you had to put $10 on one of them right now, who would you do?
On what do you mean Super for the Bowl. Super Bowl? I'm going Chiefs.
Okay.
I'm going Chiefs.
All right. Well, if anybody wants to take that bet, I got 10 on the Chiefs too. So
they have a good running back.
Who?
Oh, Jared had him, didn't he? Am I thinking of a different running back? I think.
You're thinking of Devin Singletary.
I am.
He was not a good running back. Not a good running back to have.
I mean, he was supposed to be.
Yeah. Lots of people were supposed to be. Tyreek Hill wasn't supposed to get hurt in the first game of the year.
Yeah,
supposed
Devin
to.
Singletary, Frank Gore, Sonoris Perry, and T.J. Yeldon.
Yeah. John Brown, I know you like T.J. Yeldon because you traded me for him 2 years ago.
Yeah.
When he was nothing.
You, for somehow, get the dumbest trades out of me because I'm drunk and I do it.
Martavis Bryant, man. Emmanuel Sanders. T.J. Yeldon.
You never got Emmanuel Sanders from me.
Yeah, I did.
Oh. Oops. Oh, well.
Manny!
He's a... No. Emmanuel is.
Emmanuel!
What am I thinking of? I think Emmanuel Sanders is actually a free agent this year, too.
No, he ended up... Where did he end up? He ended up somewhere, and he was doing very good.
Not in Denver. He's on the 49ers, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, he might win a Super Bowl on Sunday. Who you got for the Super Bowl?
Me?
Yeah.
No idea. I barely kept up this season. So
for those of you that don't know, and that's everybody who's not sitting in this room, Ty just had to take a phone call.
I just took a phone call, bud.
And in the entire time, insanity ensued, Ty.
Not a sound error. Not, among the things,
or just all the sound errors, we got to ask questions.
Check this audio, let's see it. Yeah, it's all good.
Play it back.
I did accidentally hit the mic with my hat, so I know you might not.
I step away for like one second.
I know.
What insanity?
He turned his head too quick, and the mic picked up the wind from his ears.
No. Charles came over and asked a question.
There we go.
So we asked questions, and then Drew said something ridiculously racist about Irish people.
Yeah, there's
people.
Something really racist in there you have to find and take out.
Yeah.
I'll just put it up. Wait, against Irish people?
Yeah.
Well,
you could be racist against them.
Yeah, I'm allowed. But
no, I'm not saying you can be. I'm saying it's possible.
Chuck and potatoes to say something. Over here.
That's what I mean. Insensitive. Anyway.
What, do you want me to bleep it?
What, is this a potato famine?
So
I'm not bleeping
speaking
it.
Speaking of Cameron Good, going back to that real quick while we all have our Super Bowl picks.
And you guys are hanging out tonight.
Yeah, he's coming. So we got the Orlando Brew Fest. So this is actually growing in a lot of different cities. They'll go to a science center, and they put 50 breweries in the science center. So you get to walk around and interact with all the exhibits and also drink up to 150 beers. Obviously, nobody drinks that much, but it's pretty cool.
You try.
You do. You put the money. It's $50, $65 for the VIP.
It's one of those events where they just give you the wristband and a cup, and it's like all you can drink. Like
I believe that's. I'm not quite sure, but I think that's how it works.
Cool.
I mean, beer fests are the best way to like really experience a lot of what's going on because typically they got great food, local food from food trucks or local restaurants or whatever, and then you have obviously the breweries. Hunapu Day. Look how great that's got.
Yeah.
Like, what was it? Counterfeit tickets. 1 year they had to like. Get everybody out that was in there and then rescan tickets and find out who had fake tickets all for beer.
Yeah.
You know, it's insane. It doesn't really happen for liquor like that. So,
no.
And I think it's, and I think that's mainly because beer has always been, had been a little more localized and craft liquor. The litigation behind it is still a little bit tight for it to become a local product.
Yeah.
You know, like the Bear and Peacock obviously has a pretty good following because their product is good. Drew and I did a field trip there, a podcast field trip. To do some recon. We got to go again. We should take this guy.
We got a few places we got to go back to.
Yeah, where should we go next? Let's tell we should do a meetup.
Yeah. Dude, apparently, though, there's this place that I've never even heard of before out in Sanford.
What's it called?
Sanford Brewing Company.
Yeah, Sanford. They're doing a limited edition beer with Corona Cigar Company.
A buddy of mine, this chick that buddy of mine's talking to, she's a singer out at Disney Springs. And her friend that she also sings with is performing at Sanford Brewing Company today.
Shout out to Sanford Brewing Company.
Yeah.
Today's Friday. I was just over in, I've been spending a lot of time washing kegs at an incredible brewery in Claremont called Sun Creek.
Okay.
Shout out to John, Bill, Eric, Ryan, Crispy.
What kind of beers do they produce?
They do a lot. They actually, because their system is bigger than ours. We have a 3-barrel system.
Everyone's system's bigger than ours.
Yeah. They have a 3-barrel system, and or we have a 3-barrel system. They have a 15-barrel system, and theirs is automated.
Nice.
So they actually brew our liquid vinyl and our Tribe Called Hops for distribution for us. And they're building another 15-barrel system in the other space they have on the property. So they're going to be doing a lot of stuff. They have a really good... Their big one is Sun Squishy, which is their New England IPA, not milkshake.
Okay.
That one's really good. They have a red, an Irish red that's really good.
Nice.
A lager. They have the Claremont Champions Lager.
It's just a
basic lager, but it tastes really good. It's like this. It's pretty solid. Very
goes
drinkable.
Goes down smooth.
Yeah. So I highly recommend if you get a chance to get out to the Claremont area, or if you're looking to try to hit a couple of them at one time, obviously... We've talked about this before, but Hop On Brewery Tours is a big fan and friend of the podcast, and we're big friends of them. They do runs through Claremont. They do runs through Winter Garden area. You can get over to Toll Road and stuff. And then they also do runs, obviously, through all the breweries in Orlando, except for Half Barrel yet.
But, okay.
You know, they got Sideward and all those other cool breweries on there. So
nice.
I think that's something that people should definitely check out if you like good craft beer and you want to get a group of your friends, six or more. And get drunk on a bus.
Yeah. Sounds great.
Yeah. Checking out breweries. You get to do like a back behind the scenes thing. So shout out to Hop On Brewery Tours.
Absolutely. Letting you into the back of the breweries in Orlando.
Yeah. Straight through the back door. Boom. Well, but yeah, I think that's the end. I think that's all we got.
Yeah.
We fizzled out.
That's it.
Boom. I hope that you guys stuck with us through that entire mess of a podcast. But I actually had fun on this one.
So, did you? That's
I don't good. Think we have to re-record this one.
I was going to say, in 10 minutes, you're not going to be like, I didn't like it. I'm not going to put it out for 3 months.
No. You look great today.
Oh, yeah.
You too.
Thanks, dude.
Gosh, right. Big guy.
We'll see you for 23.
That's it.
I don't know about you.
23 and me.
But right now, we're feeling 22. That's it.